You're encouraged to follow the reading this morning from the church Bibles. You can find it on page 979. We're going to be reading further from the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you can, by being anxious, add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to God's word, let's just bow our heads and pray. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As we look at your word, Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would just help as you work through your spirit in our hearts, so that we get the right priorities in life, so that we can bring you glory. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're thinking about kingdom priorities. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. The word anxious occurs 6 times in this passage. God's word is always relevant, and it's always relevant right across the ages. But I think there's a particular resonance when we talk about anxiety in our society today. It's estimated that there are about 8 million people in the UK who suffer from some kind of anxiety disorder. This is often linked to depression because they're simply a cause and an effect. And I think very much as a result of COVID, there has been an explosion in numbers of people suffering from anxiety and depression, probably fueled by isolation. Now, Jesus' teaching this morning is not targeted especially towards mental illness, although the passage is hugely helpful in our understanding and setting good perspectives. I say this as someone who's battled with anxiety and depression for about 20 years, someone who's very grateful for medication that allows me to be what I am today, and someone who's thankful to God that I lead as normal a life as I would wish it to be. You'd understand, I wouldn't wish to be too normal. But we'd be mistaken if we thought Jesus was simply giving a discourse on anxiety this morning. Because this passage is fundamentally about the priorities we have in life. And as we work through this, we need to see what Jesus has got to say to us this morning. Because it boils down to us living our lives for God's glory, not for self-indulgence. And as we seek to understand the passage this morning, we're going to start with number one, the context. I've put this as a point on its own because the context here is absolutely essential for a true understanding of the passage and what it is that Jesus wants to say to us this morning. The context really comes in two spheres. The first is textual context. So we think, okay, new chapter, new section, new heading, new title. But there isn't any of this in Jesus' teaching. There isn't a week between each sermon. Jesus teaches what we call the Sermon on the Mount in one sitting, in one hit. We have a summary of what Jesus taught, as written down by Matthew, and he was particularly hot about the kingdom of God. He wrote about the kingdom of God a lot. So we need to understand that Jesus is only taking breaths, as it were, as he moves from one section to the next in the Sermon on the Mount. We've already seen that the series that we've been working through has been linked. And this morning is no exception, because we start with the word therefore. It's a follow-on. It's a conclusion. It's an outworking of the previous passage. So we must understand the passage today in the context of what Jesus has just been saying. What has Jesus just been saying? Well, you need to go back to last week or the section before. But basically, get your heart priorities the right way round. Kingdom people must live for the kingdom. That's what we're called to do. Store up treasure in heaven as a priority, not storing up treasure here on earth. And it's in the context of living for God and not for us that Jesus says, do not be anxious about the things of this life. And the second part here is the cultural context. Now, I remember when my son was really young, asking him, where does milk come from? And his immediate answer was Tesco. But that underlines the problem that we have in terms of the cultural context. Even with our supply chain problems and strikes at Felixstowe that are coming up, our food and clothes are always available. But in Jesus' day, it was very, very different. The last harvest was always the harvest that mattered the most. If it was a good harvest, the people had plenty to eat. If it wasn't as good a harvest, people would start getting anxious and they would worry about what are they going to eat over the winter months. Subsistence existence is common throughout the world. Very much so in the areas of Central Asia where I work. A good harvest literally means the people will be fed in the coming weeks. A poor harvest means that life will be really tough. Isn't that why Jesus said in what we call the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread? It was a daily dependence that people at the time of Jesus had for their food. And we've lost some of the vitality of that in our culture today. So I hope we can understand that there were real and constant ongoing concerns at the time of Jesus for food and for clothing. Is there going to be enough food? Will there be enough resources for clothes? That's not fashion, that's warmth. The essentials. Now, that's been a long introduction. And if we think this passage is simply, don't worry, we're missing the point. It's more fundamental than don't worry, go home, enjoy your lunch, everything will be fine. And in that context, we come to verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then number two, we come to the first illustration. And this is to do with the birds. Jesus says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Jesus' teaching is predominantly outside, and so often uses real life illustrations to make his teaching kind of live and be understood by everyone who listens. And Jesus, you can almost imagine the birds of the air being around. And Jesus says, have a look at the birds of the air. Cast your eyes to them. You won't see what birds, you won't see birds doing what humans do. You won't see them sowing seed, they'll just eat it. You won't see them planting. You won't see them nurturing. You won't see them harvesting. They live on whatever is around at the time. Yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. So, if God cares for the birds of the field like this, how much more does he care for you? God knows when a sparrow falls to the floor. As a follower of Jesus, you are incredibly valuable. You're not just made in the image of God. Just made in the image of God, that's pretty amazing. But living as people of the cross, we see the price paid to redeem us. You are precious in Jesus. Bought with the blood of God's eternal Son. Could there have been a higher price? You are incredibly valuable because of this. And Jesus describes God in this verse as our heavenly Father. I think this is a throwback to what we call the Lord's Prayer. The description is given for a reason. It's heavenly Father. Now, this doesn't exempt us from hardship. Look at the lives of the disciples. Look at the life of Paul. But it does mean that God knows everything about us. And whatever circumstances you find yourself in this morning, God cares for you as a follower of Jesus. And ultimately, this life is a click of the fingers. It's here, it's gone, and then comes eternity. So worry about eternal matters, not earthly matters. That's why Jesus is saying store up treasure in heaven for eternity, not on earth for that long. And then Jesus brings a dose of reality in verse 27, and he says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Now, this verse can be translated in different ways because the Greek word used can have different meanings. But the intended meaning is absolutely crystal clear and obvious. In fact, if anything, being anxious will reduce your lifespan, most certainly not increase it. And then to emphasize the point, Jesus goes on to another illustration. Number three, the flowers. Look at verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The wild flowers of the field are beautiful. I remember climbing up a remote hillside in Switzerland where very few people went, and coming upon the most amazing meadow, just covered, absolutely covered in amazing flowers. It was stunningly beautiful. Jesus says their natural beauty surpasses that of King Solomon. Now, King Solomon was Israel's richest king. He had absolutely everything that life could provide. His treasures were breathtaking. Yet, even Solomon, with all the glitz and glamour of all the stuff he had and all his glory, couldn't compare to the simple, magical beauty of the flower in the field. What does Jesus say? Well, you don't get flowers making yarn and turning it into clothes. They just flourish with carefree abandon. And that's the flowers of the field, the grass of the field, that's here today and gone tomorrow. Flowers are transient. The beauty doesn't last long. Jesus says, if God creates flowers of such stunning beauty, which are so transient, he will clothe you, his own people. Again, this doesn't mean that we will be exempt from hardship, but it does mean that we're not to worry about clothing, the essentials, humanly speaking, in life. And you certainly don't need to worry about being at the leading edge of fashion. Leave that one to me. Clothing means warmth in this context, keeping warm. Now, having used the two examples to make his point, Jesus wants us to learn two essential lessons. If you want the antidote to being anxious, we must listen to Jesus' conclusions, which takes us to number 4, verse 31, trusting in God. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So Jesus has taken us through two examples. Example of God's care, examples of his provision. And here comes the conclusion. Therefore, we're to stop being anxious about earthly things. That's a big deal to a Jew dependent on the next harvest with no government bailouts. But it's also a big deal for us too. Many in our country struggle with the daily necessities of life. And that's before we talk about energy bills. But kingdom people are not to worry about the basics in life. That's a huge statement. For followers of Jesus, we don't need to get anxious about where our material things come from in life. Why? Because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. That's a crucial statement and a reality. God knows. God knows. Jesus is saying that God knows our basic needs. He knows what it is that we need in life. But for followers of Jesus, it's also relational. Earlier on in Matthew 6, Jesus tells us to pray to our Father. In verse 32, we're told that your heavenly Father knows. Can you grab that this morning? Your heavenly Father. Not just God knows, but your heavenly Father. This is God who is for us, not against us. This is God who has established us as his covenant children. And as an earthly father would always want to provide the very best things for his children in normal circumstances, how much more so God wants to provide and look after and care for and nurture his children bought with the precious blood of his own son. Again, this does not mean that life is going to be a breeze. Hardships will come. Believers are not immune from famine, from war, from pestilence. Working in Central Asia, I've listened to many, many people tell their stories in and out of prison, tortured for their faith. Life that is tough. But you know one thing that resounds throughout all the stories I've heard? God is faithful. God is trustworthy. Maybe this morning, in your circumstances, in your life, you need to hear those words. God knows. Your Heavenly Father knows. Number five this morning, there are 17 points, so we better get going. Number five this morning, seek first God's kingdom. Verse 33, there aren't 17, don't worry. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, there's one thing I really want you to be anxious about this morning. Not about your daily needs, not about your food, not about your clothing, not about your investments, your career, your education. Rather to worry about God's kingdom and his righteousness. Well, actually, not really to worry about it, but just to get on and do it. This is the antidote to earthly worry. Put God first and serve him. Notice the emphasis here. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is the call that goes out to all kingdom people. Seek first the kingdom. We have to put God first in our lives. And last week in our all-age service, we were thinking about some of the things that could get between us and God and how important it is for us to remove them. Who are we living for? Ourselves or for the kingdom? How do you start putting God's kingdom first? Well, maybe you want to go back to the Beatitudes at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. Be poor in spirit, be meek, be merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker. Maybe you need to put on the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in his letters. Maybe you need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then our whole bodies become full of light. And you become that light that reflects to the rest of the dark world around you. Then Jesus says, leave the worry about the necessities in life to your Heavenly Father. Now please don't take the last phrase of verse 33 out of context. This is not some kind of prosperity gospel move. Trust God and you'll be blessed materially. It's not about that. It's about having kingdom priorities in our lives. And we need to examine ourselves in the light of God's word. Last point, number six. Tomorrow. Verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I don't know about you, but there's just something sad about that verse. But yet something that is just so very real. Because so many of us would identify it with it, wouldn't we? That there's the anxiety and the troubles of today. There's the anxiety and worry about what happens tomorrow. If anybody thought that the previous verse was about gospel prosperity, then this verse puts it into context. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Persecution is the norm for believers right round the world. We're the exception in the UK right now. Read through the book of Acts and see the early church under persecution and hardship. Life is tough. But we have a heavenly Father who knows. We have a Saviour who's walked this earth and understands. And Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. How liberating that can be for us. I mean, I'm almost tempted to say, put your hand up if you've never been anxious about tomorrow at some point in life. How liberating that Jesus says that to us. But it's tough to put it into practice. Do you know, everything in my head tells me I can trust God with everything in life. Because I know that God is all powerful. I know he's the eternal one. I know he's got every power and every resource at his disposal. But getting that message from my head down to my heart sometimes is jolly hard work. I know it all in my head. But to live it in my heart basically requires me to tell myself over and over again that God is in control. He's made promises to me that will not fail. Yet my weak humanity wants to worry. Do you know, if I'm honest with some of the worries and anxieties I've had in life, sometimes I've woken up anxious about the day, about tomorrow, and I don't even know what I'm anxious about. The anxiety is just pervasive. But we need to remind ourselves about God and trusting him and seeking his kingdom first and devoting our energies into his kingdom, not seeking his kingdom first, and leave everything else to him. As we finish this morning, I'd just like to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in this passage, Paul is talking about his body being like a jar of clay. And life is really, really tough for Paul. And in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And then he goes through a list of the hardships that he has gone through, which are real tough hardships. And then in verse 16, he concludes, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our bodies are wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Jesus wants to say to us this morning that our earthly lives are here and gone in a flash. We shouldn't be self-seeking, self-serving, in trying to accumulate for this life. Instead, we should be striving for treasure in heaven by seeking God's kingdom first and putting our trust in him. And you know, one day, all our troubles will be over. And we have the absolute fantastic joy and excitement of going to be with Jesus Christ in heaven for the whole of eternity. But until that moment comes, seek first God's kingdom and put him first. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, so often we know that we don't trust you as we should. And we're sorry for that. And we ask that as a result of looking at your word this morning, that you would grow our faith and grow our trust in you. Help us to be kingdom people who put the kingdom first and live for the kingdom. And help us to do this, we pray, through that work of your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen.